So that was seen by surgical colleagues as being actually a helpful thing, because it now meant that they could introduce new surgical procedures, but in a way that assured them that they were safe doing it, that assured their patients that they were safe doing it, and actually assured the hospital that, they were safe doing it as well. This kind of came about a couple of years ago because, and this is quite a tragic story, because a young girl who was born here in the early 2000s, so she was 5 years old, was born, and like her older brother before her, and in fact like her younger brother subsequently, was born with a hereditary condition of her bloodstream called spherocytosis. And that means that her red blood cells, instead of being shaped like nice donuts with a big dimple in the middle, are spheres. And the spleen says, oh, these aren't good blood cells, these aren't normal blood cells, I'll take them out of the circulation, break them up and recycle the components. So that's what the spleen does. So the spleen is constantly breaking down all these red blood cells into the wrong shape. In fact, functionally, they work reasonably well. So what happens to patients with spherocytosis is they become anemic because the spleen is gobbling up all the blood reds from their red blood cells, and the spleen becomes very large. So the proposed treatment is that the patient has their spleen removed, nothing more than that. This girl's older brother had had this procedure done already, had his spleen out, and this girl herself was then referred, in fact, not to this hospital, not to surgeons in this hospital, but to a specialist paediatric hospital to have her spleen out. What the surgeon said was, oh, instead of giving her a big incision right up and down her abdomen to get her spleen out, we're going to do this operation laparoscopically with little telescope ports. And so we'll mobilise the spleen with telescope ports, then she won't have a big scar, she'll have a much better cosmetic result, she won't be in hospital as long as she would be if she had an open operation, so it'll be better all round. The problem is the spleen is so big that we're going to use a special instrument called a morcellator to chop the spleen up whilst it's still inside her, and then we can suck it out. So this is all highly well intended, this was a very good idea in my view. The problem is they didn't tell the parents that this is what the plan was going to be. They didn't discuss the plan with the child herself, although she was fairly young at this stage anyway. But perhaps more concerningly, they didn't even discuss it with the rest of the theatre team. And it turned out that in the operating theatre, nobody had used this particular instrument before. The surgeon himself had not used this particular instrument before. The operation was underway, the child was anaesthetised, and about an hour into the operation, as I understand it, she suffered a huge cardiac arrest and died on the operating table. The post-mortem showed that she'd suffered internal organ damage, almost certainly as a consequence of the use of this particular instrument that nobody had used before. So for us, that's clearly a tragic story. It's a story that we can all identify very closely with, not least because she was born here, she was a local patient, she was one of our patients. And so I use that story a lot in meetings around the hospital with a picture of this child, with her mother's permission. Her mother knows that I talk very openly about her. We use a photograph of this child to talk about her experience and then say, we want to introduce new operations here in this hospital, but we don't want to do it like that. We want to introduce them in an assured way that makes sure that everybody is safe.
That's a very powerful story. It also prompts me to think that we're moving then away from sort of inspired, sort of lone genius model of innovation, and much more towards what we see and what you've seen undoubtedly in your manufacturing side, going on in other sectors, which is that you have to have a structured process. You have to have checks and balances. It has to be about taking risks, but they're calculated risks, and they're worked through.
Yeah.
Is there a sort of message here for the NHS to perhaps learn from out of its sector?
I'm sure there is. I think increasingly the NHS is being brave enough to seek help from outside its sector. A lot of my work in the National Health Service now is structured around patient safety in its broadest sense, so not in particular with the connected systems that we've talked about, but patient safety in a very broad sense. My definition of patient safety doesn't end with whether or not you survive your hospital admission, whether your operation, for instance, is a success. It's a much broader definition, and it's one that includes whether you as a patient feel safe. Because if you don't feel safe, no matter how good the care you are receiving is, to my mind, we're failing to deliver safe patient care. And that's quite a big cultural shift, again, for people that work in the health service to understand. And so increasingly, there's quite a big focus at the moment on what traditionally might consider to be customer care. So simply talking to patients and working with patients in a quite different way from the sort of paternalistic style of medicine of 10, 15 years ago. And we think, in this hospital, that one of the organisations that's particularly good at customer care is John Lewis. And so we're seeking help now from John Lewis and saying, will you work with us to help us understand what we can do to work with our patients better? So it's not changing treatments at all. The operations are the same, the treatments are the same, but we're working much more closely now with focusing on patients' needs as part of a shift in culture towards one that focuses more on customer care.
I think it's a very interesting example, learning across from a retail sector into the health sector. I was struck by something I read in the paper recently about the Ferrari pit stop team working in Great Ormond Street. Again, yes. Same thing. Yes. What can you learn? Well, what was interesting was the Ferrari people said they learned stuff as well. It's not a one-way transfer.
No, sure.
Tim, that's been fabulous. Thank you so much. One last question, since we're very near to Christmas time and having this interview. If I were the Christmas fairy and I could grant you any wish you wanted, as a medical director, what would help improve innovation in your hospital?
I think it would be a change in mindset, a change in culture and a change in mindset that says it's okay to have a go. I think we do have an awful lot of what's perhaps rudely called analysis paralysis, whereby everybody takes any new idea, any change in the way we do something, and they analyse it to death. And I think just once in a while somebody just needs to do something, do it in small, bite-sized chunks, and check and look back all the time and ensure that your direction of travel is still appropriate. But you know, don't sit there inert. Do something.
Sounds a good recipe. Tim, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.